together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful again that we are able to call you Father, that we were made in your image and you were pleased with us. But Father, forgive us where we fall short. And when we do fall short, Father, we are so thankful that you are willing to redeem us by your Son, that you are willing to do what it took for us to be able to be with you. We pray that each day that we would realize this great privilege that we have to be able to be called a Christian. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless us with our daily needs. Pray that these things might not be a stumbling block to us, but that we might be content with the things that we have. Help us to be able to give back to others the way that you give to us. Our Father, we are thankful for the rain and the sunshine that we get. Often we think we know what we would rather it be, but we pray that we would, by faith, trust in you and see where you are leading us. We ask that you help us to grow each day in your word, that we would look into the mirror and see how our lives match up. Father, we continue to pray for those ones who are not able to be here, Sister Holiday and many other ones, Brother David and Amy. We pray that the conditions might be better, that we can all be here once again and not have to worry about our health when we meet together. We pray that you would help us with our families. Help us to be strong Christians that they might see your light in us, and that we might not be like hypocrites to them, but seeing that we have struggles also, we have things to overcome, and that we are willing to do what it takes to be a Christian and to be a follower of you. We pray that you would be with us all as we're traveling tonight, that everybody might make their destination back safe again. We pray for these things and all things in Jesus' name.
Well, the subject kind of builds on everything that we've been talking about for the last month. First, I would introduce to you something that it came to me out of a strange direction, but I remembered something I heard when possibly I was 3 years old and it was a radio program, or possibly I was 13 years old, and it was an early movie. But there was something that happened, and the title of my lesson will be The Man Without a Country. It's based on an article, which we've got the information on Wikipedia. The Man Without a Country was a short story written by Edward Hale. It was published in the Atlanta Magazine in December of 1863. The story is set in the events of 1780s after the American Revolution and is about an American Army lieutenant named Philip Nolan who renounces his country during a trial for treason with the angry words, "I wish I may never hear of the United States again." So the people that were trying it went off and decided, consequently sentenced him to spend the rest of his days at sea with not one word of news about the United States. He spent the rest of his life confined to U.S. Navy warships in exile, with no right to ever set foot on the U.S. soil again. The people he would come in contact with could talk about anything, but given explicit orders that no one should ever mention his country or any information about it to him. Deprived of his homeland over the years, Nolan slowly and painfully learns the true worth of having a country and the value of having citizenship there, which was denied him because of his outburst. Many years later, he died at sea, never having set foot again on this country again. So many people now on earth are aware of because of things set in their hearts of human beings, that this world is not our home. Even if they have never read God's Word, the Bible, which is the Word of God, makes many references to the fact that we are away from our home while we are here on earth. We as Christians have a strong sense that we are all on a journey to our home. We long to go home, to be with our in our heavenly country, as we were studying tonight. After our lives here are done, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you want to read that, I've got it printed here. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, two verses. Verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in time. Also, he has put eternity in man's heart. Yet, so he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Going down to verse 14. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. The writer of Hebrews refers to Abraham's faith and obedience as an example to us as we journey through our lives and our faith towards our home in heaven. You want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 with verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, when he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs to him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So Jesus tells us plainly that he himself is preparing a place for us in his Father's kingdom, in his Father's house. And we will come along, come again, and take us there to dwell with him. So if you would like to read along, I will be reading next from Jesus' words in John the 14th chapter. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. This is the English Standard Version. I'm going here for these verses. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. We are very aware that we are not of this world, that we don't fit in here with worldly people. But you don't have to feel hopeless about this, because not only is Jesus instructing us about this, but when he is praying to God, his Father, our Father, listen to how Jesus in his prayer to God is asking for help for us. So this is in chapter 17 of John. Chapter 17. Just in this part, Jesus is praying about his apostles. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Again, he's talking to his Father God. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. There's even more courage for us if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul speaks of our longed-for home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. While we live here, we must become more and more suited to living in heaven. Turn, please, if you wish, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Just as Ashley prayed for us to have help, that we can do things right. So if the world hates us, remember that the world hated Jesus also. We are not alone in opposing the evil of this world. Jesus is with us. John chapter 15. If you want to turn there, John 15, verses 18 through 19. John chapter 15. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If we're getting liked too much by people of the earth, then maybe we need to reconsider what we're doing. For whoever does the will of God, his place in heaven is secure. Now 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 and 7 through 17. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eye and the pride of possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. How do we do the will of God? How does it apply to us today? If you turn to in Matthew 22, Jesus gives us two great commandments which sum up the law and the prophets. Obeying these two commandments will fit us into heaven with the blessed, where we won't be out of country. Matthew 22, verse 37, beginning, and he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So how do we love the Lord our God? Loving God is defined in 1 John 5 as keeping God's commandments. We love Him by obeying Him. In verse 2 of 1 John 5, by this we know that we love the children of God, our fellow brothers and sisters, that is, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. How do we love Jesus? Loving Jesus is defined in John 14 as keeping Jesus' commandments. We love Him by obeying Him. John 14th chapter, 21 through 24. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So, loving God and loving Jesus are not just a feeling and feeling good towards them, as we see. There's things we have to do. We have to some commandments to obey and a good attitude of heart. And all commandments do us good. Judgment day is certain. Will you yourself be judged as having loved God and obeying Him and having loved your fellow man? Or will you be turned away from what could have been your longed-for country, your dwelling place with Jesus and the blessed? Jesus gives us some clear examples of the active love that will please God. Just as Randy mentioned in his sermon on Sunday, when he was talking about if God did not exist, the problems that we would have, it summarizes here in Matthew chapter 25, and this will be the last scripture that I'll cover this evening. But this gives specifically and quite vividly what it will be like and what we will be judged by. So Matthew 25, it's a longer reading, but verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also were answering, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. You may get out your songbooks now and turn to the page that Brendan has gotten as I make a summary statement here. Heaven can be our home. We don't have to be a person without a country. If we faithfully obey God while we live here, to be invited into God's home, our new country, heaven, we must obey His commands to repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ, to wash away our sins and live a life of obedience to His commands, out of love for God and love for our fellow man. Don't miss heaven. A wonderful country, if you will. Recently, we were notified that Dee Bowman, one of the great, respected, and beloved gospel preachers, had passed away. Many remembered his most repeated admonition. At the end of his lessons, he would say, if you miss heaven, you have missed all there is. Don't miss heaven. Don't come to the end of your life here and have no longed-for country to go to. Don't face God as a man without a country. Let us stand and sing. Yeah. not my home. I'm just a passing through. Travers well right up somewhere. Get me from heaven's open door, and I can't
open this world
me, please. Our great God and Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We are glad to be before thee, Father, tonight to study your word, to hear this message that was taught to encourage us to faithfulness and to a right and just life in thy sight. We're thankful, Father, for the study that we've engaged in to learn more about the sermon that Jesus preached to teach disciples in those early days how to turn their lives to you and to be more spiritually minded. Father, we pray that as we lay these truths to our heart, that you will give us understanding, that you'll share with us the wisdom of the life that you describe for your children, and that we may live faithfully before you. We do recognize, Father, our failures, and in these sermons we are well pointed out our weaknesses and the needs for improvement in our lives. We pray for courage and strength, and not to be afraid of the making those changes, but to trust in you and to see the truth of your word play out in our lives and those around us whom we love. Father, we're thankful to thee for the brethren that are here who continually encourage us to pray together and to study together and to seek your word. We're thankful, Father, for the uplifting hour that this is when we come together in the middle of the week to engage together around your word and know that you gather with us and that we are close to our God. Help us to take that feeling with us, but more importantly, Father, the knowledge that you truly are with us every day and that we walk by your side and we walk in your way. We thank you, Father, for the example of Jesus who teaches us how to walk through this earth. But we know that we are not alone, and we seek to walk with you until we can gather with you permanently in heaven around your throne forever and ever. Father, please be with those, as we prayed earlier, that are sick and not able to be here, and we ask for a speedy recovery and the removal of the barriers of the pandemic around us that keep people from wanting and being able to get out. And we pray for those who are traveling who now and those who will be traveling in between our next service, that you'll bring us all back together safely, bring them home, and watch over and care for each of us as we go from day to day. Father, bless us in our lives, bless our homes and our families, and keep us faithful unto thee in all things. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.